know, when the Bible would remind us about things that are valuable, it's not limited to things that our eyes, physical eyes, can see. See, what the Lord is teaching all of us, even while we are in this world, even before we read the portion of the scriptures for our study today, is, we're so thankful that the Holy Spirit who teaches us, whether we be in a setting like this that we would hear an exhortation or Bible study, or even when you're at home by yourself and something would like push you or make you pick up your Bible, I would encourage you have your own personal Bible. Some of you are very savvy with the technology today. Probably you have your Bible app, whatever it is that you might use. It's so important for us to know the Word of God in these times we're living in. You and I would hear about fake news. What is really true? What is really true? And the Word of God tells us that God's Word is truth. Whether you're a young adult, you're a young person, or you're in your middles, or you are in your 70s or 80s, the truth that comes from the Word of God is still important to you and me. In whatever season in our lives that we find ourselves in, the Word of God is so valuable because it's able to build up our faith. And why is faith in God important? Because there will be opposition to what you and I believe in. There will be the testings of faith. And it takes, of course, the power of God. It takes the power of God to overcome any difficult situations, because most of us have lived long enough. How many of you are 20s here? Who are the 20-something here? 20 and 30. Go on. Okay. Just a few hands. 20s. How about the 30s? Who are in their 30s here? Okay, there. 40s? Naku, nabubo ko ng age natin. Kaya ayaw nang magtaasan. It's okay, you don't have to. But what we're saying is, we need God. Amen. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. And when our faith is so strengthened and built up, what's amazing is when you and I have this kind of relationship that's growing and growing. Like, you know, what our brother Art and sister Didi shared today. As a married couple, you know, it's a relationship, right? Between husband and wife, it's a relationship that needs to grow. And that it's exactly the same thing with our relationship with God. Our relationship with Him is not just on Sundays. It's every day. The beauty of having Christ and having this true born-again experience is to know that we have someone like the Lord Himself to be with us. We might not be together all the time. Of course, that's the truth. At times, we might need the encouragement of someone. A brother or sister in Christ, I might not be with you all the time. But when you and I have the Word of God planted in our hearts, and we have the Holy Spirit, when you accepted Jesus, the Spirit of God is with you. And He will teach you and guide you, and above all, give you this kind of power that then we realize, oh my gosh, how was I able to overcome that? It's the power of God. And can I tell you that the power of His resurrection is alive? We sang earlier, My Redeemer lives. When you have that kind of experience with our Lord Jesus and know that He's alive, you're going to sing that song in a very different way. My Redeemer is alive. My Jesus is alive. And He's with me and His life is in me. Amen. Praise God. Simula pa lang ho yan. Amen. And so if you're able, okay, you have a Bible, your Bible with you, let's... If you're physically able, please rise up. First Peter. Praise God. First Peter, chapter 4. Start with verse 7 all the way up to chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 4. Glory to God. If you don't have a Bible, we have extra Bibles to lend you, so you could follow along with us, because it's important for us to see these things. Amen. Let me know if you're there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. I'm reading from the NIV version. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to do what? To serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit, capital S, of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And look at verse 10. We'd like to emphasize this. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we open up our hearts to your word, which is life to all of us. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to teach us and grant us understanding from the word, and above all, the grace to apply these truths and principles in our lives. Help us to be all doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. You know, when you and I would start with 1 Peter, this letter that was written by Peter, it started with Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it says, to God's elect. So this letter is addressed to God's elect. When the Bible identifies that as God's elect, it's for those who have been chosen by God, called by God, and have committed their lives to Jesus. Who are the God's elect here? We are. And look at verse 1, how you and I are described in the eyes of God. As God's elect, we are what? Strangers in the world. Are you there with me in chapter 1? pilgrims in another version. So, we are in this world, pero dapat daw strangers. So, meaning to say, Jesus said this at one point, we are living in this world, but not of this world. So, meaning to say, as when you and I receive Christ, how we live our lives in this world should not be patterned according to how the world lives. Our life standards should be based on God's standards and not the standards of the world. Very important, ho. You know, when Peter, who is an apostle of the Lord, before he became an apostle, he was just an ordinary fisherman. The first words of our Lord Jesus to Peter was, you don't have to turn there, that's found in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. He says, come, follow me, Peter. You're a fisherman now, but I will make you a fisher of men. So, and then before Jesus ascended back to heaven, because we know the story that Peter at one point when he made that decision to follow Jesus, you know, he denied the Lord several times. And Jesus perfectly understood that Peter needed to be reinstated in his walk with God. So in John chapter 21, 22, he said, "You, Peter, you must follow me." So the first invitation was, come, Peter, follow me, Jesus said to him. And he obeyed. But in between those two challenges and between those two invitations, things happened. And you know what's remarkable about the Bible, po, is it never like sugar-coated the people of, you know, it tells us the kind of people they were, all their shortcomings and all. Isn't that a comfort to us? Yes, because, alam nyo, Peter never failed to follow Jesus. That's one thing about him, even though he often stumbled. And so that's why, you know, when we would realize this, so we would ask ourselves, what was it that Jesus saw in Peter, considering he was mayabang ho kaki? You know, he always spoke without thinking. Impulsive, rash, impulsive. And we know that he denied the Lord three times, even though he knew Jesus. And but one of the lessons, there are two important lessons we could, just for the sake of this study, that God's faithfulness can compensate for our greatest unfaithfulness. Let me say that again. So even, in fact, the Bible tells us, even when we are not faithful to God, God remains faithful to you and me. Isn't that wonderful about the Lord? One thing about Peter was he loved Jesus. When he had that encounter, he realized that what Jesus is offering to me is what I need in my life. He found what was missing in his life. Do you know that all of us, young or old, irrespective of our gender, whether you're a guy or you're a woman, we all have needs. We have needs. And, you know, can I say this? That because Jesus himself created us, as a woman, he knows our emotional needs. Let me start with the women. He knows our emotional needs. And our identity is never defined by the dictates of the world. Let me give you an example. The world might tell you that you have to look a certain way to be accepted. That they would set up like a standard that your complexion should be perfect and no muscles going southbound. Right? For men, can I say this for men? You know, even the physical attribute of it, some men would spend hours just to be able to accomplish the six-pack figure. And so if your figure is like, no pack. baluti na lang sa run wrap. No kidding. The world might tell you you should be driving a certain car to look sharp. That's why in Romans it says, do not conform to the standards of the world, but be renewed in the way we think. And we come to know the will of God. How? Through God's word. Through the word of God. Our identity, when we become, you know, to be blessed. You know, Lord, thank you. Whatever it is, the physical attributes or the mental accomplishments, there's a tendency that we compare ourselves to others. And that's where the problem starts. Because when we compare ourselves to others, two ways lang yan. Either we get too proud, oh, mas maganda ako sa kanya. Oh, mas matalino. Oh, I'm prettier than her. I look prettier than her. Or I am more accomplished because I have this degree. And if you're someone that you're not able to, you know, you're not blessed to have means to go and get a degree, that doesn't define your identity. Our identity, when we come to know Jesus, then we see our true value, our self-worth. So it's either we become too proud or we become parang may self-pity na. And so when you and I start those things, and it can be, it's not good for us. It can destroy us. But the beauty about having Jesus is then we begin to see, wow, Lord, you accept me for what I am. And the other thing, let me just insert this. Let not our past mistakes define us today or even our future. Let me say that again. All of us have our own share of past mistakes. If we have a huge delete button, delete. And at times, some people would say, I don't want them to know about... I've got a shady past. Who doesn't? We are all sinners saved by grace. Peter is the authority to the subject of God's grace. And it's so nice to read the 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and we see from the pages, from the Word of God, how he was changed by the Lord. He was someone that experienced God's grace. For those of you who were not here last Wednesday, there was one part of his life that he was, you know, after having failed Jesus, denied Jesus, of course, you know, he felt bad, right? Isn't that something that you and I can relate with him? That at times when Jesus would tell us to do something and we don't do it, and it's like, oh God, Lord, I failed again. So he was down. But the beauty about our Lord Jesus, when you look at that in John 21, was the grace of the Lord. In fact, in that portion of the scriptures, he said, he was so down, he said, you know what? He told the rest of the disciples, I'm going, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going fishing. Remember, he was called to be a fisher of men. So when he said, I'm going back fishing, so what does that tell us? He wants to go back to his old life. The thing here is, when discouragement comes in a life of a Christian who started, you know, pumped up at one time, and then parang slowly we were getting discouraged. And we all have our shares of discouragement. Probably the Lord has given you a promise, and it's like, Lord, you gave that promise to me several years ago, and nothing has happened, God. And so those are the times when we get discouraged, right? We want to see a proof. We want to see something visible to kind of lift us up. And waiting is never easy. Waiting on God is never easy. But what he promised is, when you and I learn how to wait and trust that he will fulfill his promise, no matter how long it is, how long the delay is, he will see to it that be fulfilled. Because one nature of God is, he can never lie. He can never lie. So that's why it's important for us to see the valuable promises. That's why here in this portion of the scriptures, he reminds us of what lies ahead for us. So let us not get entangled. Let's not get entangled with all the things here that this world would offer to us. And at times, first things that the world, who's the god of this world? Satan is. Small letter G. Everything moving around us, movies, music, business, everything is, there's influence by Satan. So he is the author of deception. Hear this, he is the author of deception. When in a marriage, it's, you know, crumbling. And that's where in the teachings of the Lord would come in when it comes to loving someone. I'm not a married person, but I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. Over all these years of ministry, I have seen many marriages that talagang nagbreak, all because they have not applied what the Word of God has said. But let me just say this at the onset. Even if someone already got divorced, do we believe in restoration?
Yes.
But God would want to spare so many more from heartaches and pain down the line by following His Word. Amen? So here is another lesson that you and I can learn in his life. It is better to be a follower who fails than one who fails to follow. Let me say that again. It's better to be a follower of Jesus who fails than one who fails to follow. So, many mistakes along the way, but one thing we know that, you know, God knows us. That in our weaknesses, the strength of God is made perfect. We thank Him for His long-suffering towards all of us. Amen. Now, most of you probably here, is it safe to say, most of everyone present right now has made that conscious decision to follow Jesus. If not yet, for those of you who have not yet, we're going to give you that opportunity. Or for some that probably you come to church in and out Sunday, but never made that conscious decision to follow Christ. We're going to give you that opportunity because that's the best decision that anyone can make. In Psalm 2, verse 11, it says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." That's Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then in another portion, in John 15, verses 14 to 15, we are Christ's servants, but we are also His friends. Isn't that wonderful? But both relationships are important because as servants of God, we obey Him. But it's out of a willing obedience as a friend and not the blind obedience of a slave. Let me say that again. When the Bible calls us that we are Christ's servants, and then on another portion, He calls us His friends. So both relationships are important. But the onset, let me tell you that the study is, I was reading this book by Warren W. and David Wiersbe. Beautiful. And it's written by these people that have come to know the Lord in their lives and even in serving Him because, you know, at the onset, when we were led in our worship, it tells us about the kind of relationship that God has given us. What kind of love has Jesus given to us? And the song appropriately said it. It's a sacrificial love. Sister Sally, Elder Sally, ushered us into the presence of God to remind us of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. You know, the blood of Jesus, we don't hear that much about the preciousness of what Jesus did at the cross. And here in this study, we, as God's people, we would want really to know and value this sacrificial love that Jesus did for us. Because if you and I now receive that kind of understanding, alam niyo po, when there would be that opportunity to serve God, and then say, "Lord, You love me that much. Ano ba tong maliit na bagay? It's just a small thing that You're asking me to do to serve You." And we obey out of our, you know, this gladness in our hearts. Amen. We read a portion of the scripture that mentioned to us about the glory of God. See, the glory of God talks about, it's a an attribute of God, and it tells us about the totality of who God is. It means that everything about Jesus is glorious. Everything about Jesus is glorious. And so now, last time we talked about, last Sunday, we talked about how in the suffering of a blind man, a person who was born blind since birth. And yet when people ask, Lord, why did that happen in the life of this blind man? Was it because of his sins or the sins of his parents? But what was the reply of Jesus? He said, no, it's not their sins, but that the work or the power of God or the glory of God be displayed in his life. So what the Lord would want to share to us this Sunday, this afternoon, is that how do we see sufferings in our lives? How do we view it? Do you know, there's like this tendency that if we don't know what God is like trying to accomplish in your life and mine, that we may end up disillusioned. Or some people would say, you know, because I have met some people, they said, you know what? Ganyan sila. Give up. I'm not going to church anymore. I don't believe that anymore because of the suffering that they were going through. See, that's why it's important for us to know what Jesus said. He said that in this world, you and I will have what? But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Amen. And so that's why when you and I go to the Word of God, we begin to see that He would bring a balance to what you and I are going through, yung mga sufferings, and He would say, anak, konting tiis lang. Persevere. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, I will help you persevere and endure whatever you're going through that you may see my power and glory. That's God. See, Peter had a hard time. He had a hard time understanding this truth when Jesus told him that I will die on the cross. He did not understand the value of what it means that Jesus had to die on the cross. So, in fact, you know what did Peter do at one point? Lord, I will not allow that to happen, right? Remember that portion? And then what did Jesus tell him? Jesus rebuked Peter and told him he was thinking like an unconverted part of the world. And even, sabi niya, get thee behind me. He was telling that to Peter. Why? Because when Peter said, Lord, no, I won't allow you to die on the cross. Because it was his emotions ang nagkick in, right? Can I tell you at the onset, please? Emotions can get in the way in knowing God's will. I will say that again. Because that happened to Peter. He loved the Lord, right? If you were on his shoes, would you do the same? Probably. Yeah, because you love him, right? Because, Lord, I love you. Lord, I don't want you to leave us. Right? But Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan, because it was worse, because he was like, ang line of thinking niya was in line with the work of the devil. Do you follow? Because the will of God was for Jesus to die on the cross, because when he dies, his death on the cross would bring about the salvation of many. I want us to look at one scripture here. Let's look at John. John chapter 12. Put a mark to 1 Peter because we're going to. So John chapter 12. Let's look at that. When you and I are reading the Bible, can I encourage you, don't just pick and choose? Read the whole thing. Read the whole. We need to know the whole counsel of God. Amen. Okay, are you there with me? John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be what? Glorified. That hour has come. You know, for the Son of Man to be glorified. How? Through his death. dying on the cross, right? Okay, do you follow? Look at 24. I tell you the truth. So every time Jesus says something, it's always the truth. Yun po ang katotohanan. All right, namnamin po natin. Let's meditate on this. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much seeds. Verse 25, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world, there we go, will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So just from the words of our Lord Jesus here, he was talking about his death. Okay? Unless, you know, when a farmer perfectly understands this, or even for those of you who are into planting, that seed has life inside. But for that life, inside that seed will spring forth what is needed. It needs to die. How does that seed die? You bury it under the ground, right? And so when that seed is buried under the ground, the life inside begins to sprout. Makita natin, in Tagalog, unting-unting sumuusbong. There we go. We see seed, and then there's life that sprouted out of that seed. And when that seed is nurtured and taken care of, that seed would grow and that plant would flourish and bear more seeds, more fruits. How many of you like seedless watermelon? Ako kayo, ah. Kasi we can understand that because it's a lot easier to eat, right? But imagine this kung wala nang seed. Once you eat that seedless water, that's about it. Because wala nang maitatanim for future. There's an important thing about this study that we need to really realize. I'm getting ahead of my outline, but talking about seed. There can be no life without death. There can be no fruit without seed planting. Seeds live for the future. Let me say that again. Seeds live for the future. When you and I hear the Word of God is like a seed. In 1 Peter it says, it's an incorruptible seed. You and I have been born again because of the seed, and that seed is the Word of God. Some of you, do you remember that first time that you have been given a blessed opportunity to hear the Word of God, the Gospel? A seed was planted in your heart and mine. Amen. Do you know that it was more than 20 years ago when I know we gave this assignment to many of you, the book of Ezra and Haggai. How many of you? I'm going to collect that. I'm giving you enough time. Grace ito, ah. Grace, ah. Kayo, ah. I gave that in January. Hello? April na. Too much grace. Okay, I'm going to collect that assignment at the end of this month, okay? Oh my God. All right. Okay, Ezra. What you're going to write on that piece of paper is, what have you learned? What did the Spirit of God like told you about that, what you read in Ezra and Haggai, okay? All right. So March, Sister Cherry, dun sa announcement, yung deadline, okay? Highlight mo, ha? March 31st. Okay, all right. Going back to the seed. How do we apply that in our lives? How can the life of Jesus spring forth? It's what the Bible calls dying to self. Alam niyo ba that in this world that we are living in, it's about me. Ano yung bakit uso yung selfie? Dati ang kuha na ng picture, di ba, ganyan? Ngayon, ganyan. Signs of the times. No, not just kidding. But what it's the Bible tells us that one of the signs of the end of the age is people will be lovers of themselves. But what Jesus is teaching is, ano ba yun? If you want to be the first in the kingdom of God, be the last. Be a servant. Naman, dami kong gagawin. When we are asked to give sacrificially to Montalban, you know, I'm excited always when I think about them. Even when I do my online shopping, I was telling my mom, oh, nakakita po ako ng, there's this huge, nandun sa office. Hindi ni, nauna ka naman eh. Pasensya na kayo sa mami ko. Lagi ako inunahan. I saw this huge jar of pretzels and I thought about the little kids because I know that Pastor Romel would gather all the kids. Yung mga bata, sa. And then, meron lang ho silang entabladong napakaliit, nasiksikan sila, all muddied and all that. And I thought of them that while they're being gathered that they would have snacks. I brought a sandwich bags wherein lalagay yung snacks and I saw this huge peanut butter. And I was thinking that, wow, because many of these, they would just dig food from trash. And when the love of God is working in you and me, and it's like when we would apply these lessons of, halimbawa, you know, I would always tell you this, dati ho, I would, in any place that I would drive through, oh, bili ko, you know, I could easily, minsan $15. But I have decided that I'm going to stop that. And what the money that I should be spending for those fast food, hindi pa maganda sa health. I asked the Lord, yung self-control ko, kasi gusto kong, the money that I'm going to save, I'm going to give it for the kids in Montalban. So if I do my online shopping, hindi na yung, ano, I would think of, what can I buy for these kids? What can I buy for some of the women? And so these are the things. So we put ourselves last. So it's sacrificial, right? When we talk about sacrifices, for some of you, a lot of parents here, most of the time, I would hear you say, I would do anything for my child. I would, minsan yung kakainin mo na lang, sabi, isusubo ko na lang sa akin, bibigay pa sana, right? At great lengths, the parents would do that to sacrifice because it's your way of showing how much you care for your children. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. Jesus forsook his glory in heaven, and he came here on earth. Just, we have to consider that. He was enjoying heaven, but he became like us, limited. And then he had to wait for 30 years before he could start his public ministry. Talk about sacrifice. Talk about how he willingly gave up all of that for you and me. Kind of love that Jesus has for us. He's amazing. Our God is amazing. Hallelujah. Hear what the Word of God says. So when you and I are reminded about the reality of two places, only two places, no purgatory, no middle place, no middle ground, only heaven or hell. In hell, there is suffering, but no glory. Okay? But the Word of God tells us that in heaven, there is glory but no more suffering. Yun ang future natin. Amen. And so, while we are here on earth, so the Word of God tells us na you and I would experience sufferings. But when we begin to understand and yield, what do we mean by yield? If you are someone driving, when you see the sign yield, what do? Step on the gas or the brake? Merong sabing gas? Depende. Oh. You give way, di ba? When we yield to God, we let the Lord have His way. At times, you know, we want to be the driver of our lives. No, no. I'll do my own thing. What is that song now that Carrie Underwood made so famous? Jesus Behind the Wheel, right? It's in effect saying that, Lord, have control of my life now, right? I've been doing things my way, but this time, God, I'd like to do your will now in my life. Amen? So, there's a change in priorities now. Before I came to know Christ, what would, in my mind, before I got born again, what would satisfy the void was, I go to the mall, I buy new shoes, new clothes, got into an earthly relationship that brought me more problems than, you know. But then when Jesus came into the scene, he changed all that. Now I know that Jesus is my joy, he's my peace, he's my companion in life. Even now at my age, having done all of this, I see that it's God, it's God. When I came under, I was just like you, seated there. When the late brother Ben Baluyo talked about what is dear to the heart of God is the rebuilding of the temple that's found in Ezra. When you would look at the life of this man named Ezra, his life was so focused in knowing the word of God, doing God's word, and then teaching it to others. And then, you know what the Bible teaches? Because that was his focus, divine favor came upon his life. When you say divine favor, that even kings would tell him, Ezra, I'm going to give you what I need, what you need to do the work of God, to do the will of God. Do you want favor in your life that comes from God? Favor in God's sight and favor in the sight of people. Do the will of God in your life. And you would see how God would open doors of opportunity. Amen. And it's no longer about, you know, just us experiencing, you know, just material things. When God blesses us with material things, he would want us to enjoy them and be a blessing to others. That's one of the things about the Lord. He begins to widen our scope. Hindi na yung parang, you know, we're so limited and narrow-minded about certain things. Now, God, now I begin to see that you have a greater purpose in my life, even with the things that I'm going through, my problems, you can turn them around for good, for your glory and honor. Amen? Hallelujah. And we learn these lessons even when we go through discouragement. If you're taking down notes, we don't have the time to read it, but look at the book of Luke, chapter 24 to 25 to 27. In that story, Jesus rose from the dead. And so the Bible tells us that there were two disciples on their way to the road of Emmaus. Are you familiar with that story? So they were walking in the road of defeat and discouragement because they did not understand, like Peter, the relationship between suffering and glory. Are you there? Okay. Are you there with me? Okay. And so what did they say to Jesus? In fact, Jesus appeared to them. But the Bible tells us that they did not recognize Jesus. How is it possible? Okay, hear this. How is it possible that you have spent some time with someone and after a while that person was gone and then begins to show up? Wouldn't you recognize that person? Somehow you would, right? But here in that story, it tells us that these two disciples did not recognize Jesus when Jesus was walking alongside of them. You know why? Because discouragement can blind us from the presence of God. When you and I are so focused with our disappointments and discouragement, we don't see what God is doing. Naka-focus na tayo sa problems. Right? And so now, so when Jesus was beginning to talk to them, there was one thing that, look in verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they did not recognize Jesus. And so they expressed, when Jesus asked something, like, look at this, verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces, how? Downcast. Ganun ho ang, a person who is so burdened, ganyan ho laging, but God would want to lift you up, that your eyes are directed towards heaven where God is. Now one of them asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days? And Jesus said, what things? He asked. Do we know that Jesus is all-knowing? Yeah. Of course. Why did he ask that question? Because he wanted the confession from them. there's healing in confession. Might as well tell the Lord, Lord, I don't feel like going to church today, God. Lord, you know that, then tell. That's what the Lord did with these two disciples. So what things? And so, and then he said about Jesus of Nazareth, they said he was a prophet, powerful in word, and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Look at verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Ano ba yon? What kind of confession is that? That's defeat. They thought, what they thought was Jesus will be their conquering Messiah. That Jesus would redeem them from the persecution of the Roman Empire. And so at times you and I might be like that. What are you hoping from God today? I know many things. But you know, one of the things that the Lord said is, he will never put to shame those who put their trust in him. Whatever it is, no matter how difficult it may be, let's choose to put our trust in God because he is true. And so, in all of that, let me just shorten that story for the sake of time because it's almost one. And so, what Jesus did was to take them out of that mode of being discouraged. You know what he said? And look at this. That's found in verse 25. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to what? Okay, suffer these things and then enter his glory. So there is this suffering and then there would be glory afterwards. And so the Lord is teaching all of us that out of our suffering, when we give it to God and we allow the Lord to move in whatever situation it is, the glory of God will be seen. See, because as we end, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to end here. 1 Peter chapter 5. For all of us, you know, at times we would say, Lord, I decided na sumunod sa'yo. Why are all these things happening? There's so much to learn from the Word of God. Can I just speak to those who are serving the Lord right now? And those who are still being called by God. But for those who are already serving God. When discouragement comes and you and I would say, God, nagsaserve naman ako sa iyo, bakit ganito? Lord, I'm serving you. Why do these things happen to me? Let us not get into the mentality of the world we're in, yung parang merong agad immediate results of being given the rewards, because at times the reward might come in heaven, eternal rewards. But I'm not saying that God is not able to meet our needs. He is. The enabling power of God is here for us, for you and me, as you and I go through all of this. But hear what the Word of God says, because in 1 Peter chapter 5, are you there with me? Look at what he was saying. And the God of all grace. So here was Peter. He experienced the grace of God, who called you and me to his what? What kind of? Eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You and I are called by God's grace, called to God's glory, and called to suffer even at times as servants of God. But when you and I learn how to depend on the grace of God and live for the glory of God, that suffering will work for us because that's what he promised. And not against us. Suffering plus God's grace will produce character and spiritual maturity. Let me say that again, that equation. So suffering plus God's grace equals what? spiritual maturity and Christ-like character. Amen. And when Christ is seen in our lives, even when we are suffering, then we are giving glory to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Even before we partake our communion this afternoon, let's thank the Lord for the love that He has expressed to you and me. It's personal. That love is personal. Because the Bible tells us, we always quote this, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever, anyone who believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So He's just waiting for people really to come to Him. Not to a religion, but to a relationship. In any relationship, that relationship needs to be nurtured. Hallelujah. And to know that it took the very life of Jesus, His own life that He gave up for us. He died on that cross so that we may have the forgiveness of our sins, that because He shed His blood. The Lord Jesus shed His blood, and that was God's way for salvation to come upon us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We have to hear this. Very, very important. Without Jesus shedding His blood on the cross, we are all doomed to go to hell. But because He loves us, He shed His blood so that you and I may have eternal life. And God loves us that even when we make that decision in our lives and pain and suffering comes, please know that God is never, He's not done, He's not forgotten you. He is here with us as He has promised that even to the end of the age, I am with you, the Lord says. So while He's still working in your life and mine to develop that spiritual maturity like that seed, it starts with a seed, with the Word of God, and that seed needs to sprout and grow and mature and be like a tree rooted, deeply rooted in the soil, that even when the winds of problems come, you and I would still be found standing firm. Hallelujah. So let's begin with a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We honor you, Lord God, as our faithful and true God. Father God, you thought of a plan for us to be saved from our sins. We're not here to question the how, the method, God. But your word just reveals to us that that love that you have for us was expressed through your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you and we recognize and believe that you are the Son of God. That you were so willing to forsake the glory that you were enjoying with the Father in heaven and said yes to His plan that we might be saved from our sins. It was not an easy road for you, Lord Jesus, but that speaks about that sacrificial love you have for us. Open up our eyes and minds the way that you did to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Some of your people might be going through discouragement at this time. But one thing about you, Lord, the beauty of your grace, you did not reject them, but Lord, you met them, Lord, where they were. You appeared to them when they were on the wrong way, direction, God. They were headed towards the wrong direction, God. But because you love them so much, God, you spent time with them. You walked with them. And you are here with us to walk alongside of us, God. And so, God, we offer to you this prayer of thanksgiving, thanking you that, God, you did that to them. You're going to do it also to us now. But we would like to acknowledge, Lord God, that, God, in Jesus' name, we realize our own shortcomings, but, Lord, you still remain faithful to us. In your own words, po, begin to thank the Lord for His faithfulness and grace. Magpasalamat po tayo sa Panginoon. Kahit po in what way the Spirit of God is impressing in your heart before we take our communion and have this general prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you have not forgotten us. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the shepherd of my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting me in at the road of discouragement where I'm in right now, God. But today you have opened up our eyes that, Lord, oh God, that, Lord, meron kang purpose in all of our pain and suffering, oh God. That to bring about our spiritual growth, oh God, for us to mature as Christians, oh God, na ma-develop yung Christ-like character in all of us, yung humility, the patience, the gentleness, the self-control, the fruit of your Spirit be seen in us, all of us. Lord, we realize that all of us are a work in progress, God. Hindi ka pa tapos, Panginoon. You're not yet done. And we thank you for your long-suffering towards all of us, O God. And before we partake this communion, the bread and the cup, God, we thank you for your most precious blood, Lord Jesus, that's able to cleanse me, to cleanse us from all of our sins and shortcomings and failures, God. That through your blood, Lord Jesus, we are made whole to do your will. And that is the desire of our heart. That, Lord, all the days of our lives, may we now learn and understand your will for us and do it through the help of your Spirit, O God. I thank you for strengthening everyone gathered this afternoon, Lord. That the power of your Spirit is upon us, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive the cleansing power of your blood, Lord Jesus, as the elements are being passed. As we call on the ushers. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. As the elements are being passed, just have this moment with the Lord. And just thank the Lord for His grace. Allow me to read this portion of the scriptures. We do this because we need to have a biblical understanding of everything that you and I do. Not just going through the motion of it, but really understanding the value of partaking communion together and remembering what Jesus has done for us. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we remember, Lord Jesus, your broken body. You came here, became flesh, and dwelt among us. You're the God who knows and understands, Lord God, the pain of what each one of us is going through. But above all, O God, you offered your body. You shed your blood on that cross. Lord, O God, your hands, feet, they were pierced with those nails. Crown of thorns was placed on your head. You experienced all that pain, God. And we remember your broken body, Lord, that you did it for us, for all of us gathered this afternoon. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. And may out of that brokenness, O God, you bring healing in our lives as we remember you this afternoon. Remember the sacrifice that you did for us. As we partake this bread, not lightly, but remembering the life that you have given up. You died that we may have eternal life. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we partake the bread, remembering what he has done for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's partake the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, from this portion of the scriptures, we are reminded of your second coming. We are reminded that, Lord Jesus, because of your finished work at the cross, we have the blessed hope that we will be with you forever in heaven, where there will be no more pain, no death, no more suffering, oh God. But Lord, in the meantime, God, while we're still here, we thank you, God, that through your blood, Lord Jesus, we are made whole to do your will, oh God. That through your blood, Lord Jesus, we have overcome the enemy of our soul, Satan, oh God. In Jesus' name and through his blood, we have the victory, oh God. And we appropriate that in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins above all. That we are made whole, cleansed, oh God. Clean slate, right before your sight, oh God. Before the throne of grace, here we are, oh God. All because of his most precious blood. The new and living way that we can have access before your presence, oh God. As we partake this cup, we say thank you, Jesus, as we remember your sacrifice and death, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, as we partake the cup. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. He deserves our praise. So let's all rise up and let's just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. As we call on the praise and worship before us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And after this, after the worship, we're going to take a second offering for Pastor Lou. Amen. For some of you who have not yet signed the card, there's a card that's being circulated. You could write something to just encourage Pastor Lou. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this afternoon, God, that you have given us this valuable time to gather together, to be in your presence, oh God. You are the source of comfort, encouragement, and that's what you did in the hearts of all today. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, even as we declare what Jesus has done for us, we honor you, Lord, and we thank you for his most precious blood that covers us, this church, our families, oh God, and this nation, Lord. We turn to you, Jesus, because, Lord, you are our victorious God. In your mighty name we pray. We thank you for the guidance of your spirit upon everyone, Lord God, among your people today. And even as we commit to you the remainder of this time in our fellowship, that your presence be in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
As we sing once more this song, Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. My Redeemer lives. Thank you, Lord.